When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey everybody, happy Friday, episode 891 of Coach Unplugged. Our last day of kind of this coaching call. I might do this again at some point. Like I was telling you on Wednesday, you know, we did this, gosh, a week ago, week and a half ago, and it ended up being like a three-hour call. That's why I schedule them at different times when I know I've got, you know, later in the evenings usually, just so I know I have time during the weekends. But they're great. I mean, it's a community. I consider a bunch of them my friends. Come over and join us. Become a better basketball coach. 14-day free trial as we exist. And like I've said before in other podcasts, there's lots of options out there. There are more expensive ones. There are cheaper ones. There are all sorts of them. Most of them are run by businessmen. Most of them are run by college coaches. Trust me, they are not. I'm a basketball coach who's running this. I know my stuff. We've won lots of games. Let me help you through this journey. Let all of us in teachhoops.com help us through this journey. Also, go over and check out Dr. Dish. They have completely revolutionized it. And I don't know what their engineers do, but for me to be able to take it up and put it down that fast, there must be nuclear physicists or something. Go over and check them out. Mention Coach Unplugged and they'll give you $350 off your next purchase. Best deal out there that I can find. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
Just like false motion. If they overplay one guy, somebody's usually open. We don't run a lot of complicated stuff because we tend to have kind of an interesting variety of players. Really smart and really not so smart.
Well, that's the issue we find is like we don't have to be that great at basketball. You just have to be able to pass. We really don't. We don't space and we don't pass the ball very well. So that's really all it is. It doesn't have to be. I'm not going to find anything zone wise that's going to like blow my mind. We're just trying to teach the girls like how to pass and how to move.
Let's see. I don't have these named. So here's one that we actually, if you can drive, this is one that's just like that, but it's even better, I think. Of course, it's not loading.
Wait, Brett, are you at Hinsdale?
Yeah, Hinsdale South.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm from Peoria.
Okay. Student taught at Chillicothe.
Oh, IBC.
Yeah.
I was actually at, I don't know if you've heard of Quest Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually coached there. So.
Okay.
I'm on the boys' side.
I don't know why this is not loading all of a sudden. All right. So this play. Same setup, 1-3-1. We run this versus man or zone, all right? So same, and we stole this from the Houston Rockets. They just throw it to the wing and right back to the point guard and ball screen. We do switch wing. We switch sides here. But he's going to throw it to the wing, right back to him, ball screen. And that's gave zone a ton of fits. And it might not score immediately, but it's gotten a ton of movement, like out of something really simple. Is we run a ton of these 1-3-1 zone sets. Like this team was going to have us scouted really well. We just made one simple switch and run the same play, and they had no idea what to do. But that's trying to see. I don't have any of these other ones named. That's one of our big things against zone. See if this one has better ones in here. Or like we'll do really simple stuff where we're trying to flash a guy to the middle. We see a lot of zone. We see a lot of suburban teams that's the only way they can handle more athletic teams. Here's the same simple pop out. Like this year we had four really good three-point shooters. So
Yeah, in New York, we see a lot of that 1-2-2 as well.
And
the matchup 1-2-2 is kind of trickling here a lot too.
I had a couple things I was going to – oh, here's the Houston set. This one. We'll run this against man or zone, but it's just simple, right back to him, ball screen. And it works even – if you have the post on the side you're driving to, it works even better. But my guy could never remember to be there. So here's zone team, and just really, really simple.
Yeah, that guy was too open to make it, right?
Yeah. Now, it does help when you shoot 42% as a team from the three-point line like this year, but I've had plenty of
times. Holy Lord.
That's why we were 30-3, so.
42%?
Yeah.
Yeah, you win a lot of games that way.
Yeah, you win 30 games whenever you shoot that well. Yeah.
I've literally been thinking about, like, this season, what can they do? Everybody should come back a better shooter. I'm not sure they will, but.
And teams just really struggle with, like, who guards who in a ball screen. That's why we used to be really athletic in my old school and not very good at anything else. And we would even just throw it to the wing and follow with a ball screen.
Right.
And they had no idea what to do because nobody works on defending a ball screen.
No, they don't.
Like, and we would even do it, turn around and put this to my wife. So my daughter has ruined all of my erase markers. So.
Hey, Coach, how many threes would y'all shoot a game?
So here's our basic thing on offense. And we were talking about the Xavier newsletter earlier. I read in there about 10 or 15 years ago that kick out threes, like how much better they were. So we try to chart kick out threes, and we try to shoot as many kick out threes as possible. So it's pretty much so unlimited on that. But I would say we were probably shot 18 to 20 a game. We talked about, like, we had guys that bought into only shooting like smart three, like every time you shot a stupid three, it was like killing your teammate who could hit 40%, you know, like, but that's a lot easier said than done a lot of times. But, and here's the zone one I was talking about earlier. Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes. This was the dumbest thing I've ever ran in my life, but it was so simple. We would even run this out of just a 3-out, 2-in set versus 3-2 and put guys at the dunker spot. And we would literally just pass. And when they go to their 2-3, they'd come out and we'd literally just follow and ball screen. And people had no idea what to do with it. Like, no idea.
Because the middle guy doesn't know who to defend at that point. That's the problem. I know.
So like all the complicated stuff didn't even matter because, like, we'd just come right off that ball screen. Somebody would help lay up for somebody that could.
It would be one of the, like, yeah. So all of a sudden, if the other guy on offense kind of floats a little bit, the top guy goes, do I go with him or do I stay and stop to draw? I mean, I know it's so simple, but it works.
And it's the because we played 33 games and we had 18 games this year without a practice before we played in the game. So we keep stuff really simple. I mean, my point guard got into University of Chicago and my center barely qualified for JUCO. All right.
Which University of Chicago is a really good school. If you don't know it, very good school.
very
good school. It's like an Ivy League school, basically.
I taught the school Plano where my average ACT score was about a 16. This was a perfect offense for us.
But the thing is, what's funny about it too is, like, here's, you watch all these YouTube videos about how to deal with screens and stuff. Are you kidding me? Like, we're gonna switch every. I mean, we don't have enough time in a high school practice to deal with all the different reads about, like, what, you know, what happens. We were talking about what are the reads when you come off a screen for the offensive player. You can take the screen. You can reject the screen, right, and go the other way. So that's what we're thinking about. We're trying to teach the guys, like, the guy with the ball, what do? Well, you take the screen. No, you fake and reject, or you just reject the screen. That's what we're trying to work on as a coaching staff right now. It's like, because that's what kids don't do. They just say, oh, there's a screen. I'm going to, like, well, no, sometimes you can just you can fake like you're taking it and reject it.
This is that Houston play I was talking about. So we'll just throw it to the wing and follow versus zone. So if they're like in a 2-3 right here,
of course, now the whole defense shifts over and we get it back. He's just going to ball screen. And he can really ball screen anyone. Like, it doesn't matter which person it is in the zone. And we're looking to drive. This person sunk in, and we've got him pinned right there. And just keeping it super, super simple. And, Steve, to your point on screens, that's why we switch all screens. And I just tell guys, just figure it out.
Now, I'm telling you, we have been battling for 5 years on it. I think last year, the year before, you and I have talked about this. It's like I had a little tiny point guard this year, and it's like, you know how many times he got posted up? Maybe once.
Yeah, same here. We had a 5'9" quick kid, and they would try to post him up every game and throw it out of bounds.
Right, they're going to turn it over. The more they score, it's like I'm more worried about him being in foul trouble. So I talked to him about how I want him to defend the post because I just don't want him to get stupid fouls down there. But no, I'm 100% like, you know why? Because it takes that off my list of things I got to work on. Like, we're just going to switch all screens.
We all of our girls, all eight of our girls are about 5'8", and there's no reason not to switch everything. But we have two girls that are really, really good at when they see a ball screen coming, they understand, hey, get into the ball handler and go, and they actually get over top of it almost 100% of the time. Because that ball handler is not doing a good enough job using the screen. But lately, we've actually been – if they set really good screens, we blitz them. And
that's our variation is we'll double them. Like, we're going to switch it or we're going to come at you. Yes.
We'll send the heat, and it's awesome.
sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead, Brett.
Can I share another one play here? This is another one I would run against anything. All right, man zone, if you have multiple people that can handle. Now, the first one here is not normal. Like, for our – this is a freak kid I had here, and this is not even a normal play for him. But I've been blessed with some very good players. So we just have a fake handoff, and it's going to go into a different action here in a sec. So fake handoff, pin down. Just trying to drive right off of that. And we'll run it against man or zone. We call this LA. We've been running it for over 10 years, and nobody stops it.
Yeah, we run
that. Except for us when we can't dribble.
That's kind of like
usually that's the biggest problem. I love that play. I'm going to run this with my – I got a Division I point guard that's going to be a junior next year. Love that. And the ball will be right – he'll come off that. He'll be off ball.
And it's – the horn stuff is so good because, like, we'll play Proviso East, who's like – crazy pressure, and they don't know how to defend bigs on that pass. It's like they'll steal every guard pass we throw, and just gets really good ball movement. I've got like multiple years on here too of like, these aren't all like my players this year, even though I wish they were. Like, we'll score, like, the kids love it. Like, that's one of the things that, like, when your kids really love a play, that's when, like, we'll run the hell out of it because they know it's gonna work.
I like that floor.
Yeah, it's really sharp floor. We don't play there anymore, but that is one of the coolest gyms we've played in.
I know. I'm looking at the crowds going, oh, remember those days?
This is definitely a sub team here, so this might be an interesting position. Oh, we just get easy ball movement. Because we only have – on our offense, we only run like two or three simple cuts and just work on quick ball movement more than anything.
I love the handoff too. I think it's just – it's so hard for high school kids to defend.
And I think we've got some pretty good – we run a lot of spacing sets. The other one I know I put online, but, like, we run it all the time. What we call – it's Celtics, and it's literally the dumbest play ever, and it works all the time. Like, we just stack these guys up.
Yeah, you've shown me this one. We're running this one. I love that one. Show this – show a couple reps of this one.
Yeah.
And I mean, this team, this is a team we're playing. This is our rivalry school. They know this play and they're really good on defense. And their coach is just like, I hate you. And that
23 is a big boy.
Hate you.
Really? He went to Iowa State. He's at UIC. If he could play guard, he would still be in the Big 12.
Good banana cut. Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. Just real quick shout out to T-Troops.com, who allows us to keep this thing going. You know, we're over 600 and almost 700 podcasts. Go over and support us. And by supporting T-Troops.com, they allow us to do this. Go over and subscribe. wherever you like this and leave a review. Those 5-star reviews do mean a lot. I know they take time to fill out and do, and they mean a ton to me and to everyone that helps us here at Coach Market. So, yeah, let's head back to the podcast.
Teams just don't know exactly what my point guard there that year was really.
So good. What's the key to that play? A good point guard?
You know, that's the other thing. Like, we've ran it without a great point guard, and the spacing's just so good. It makes them pretty good. This kid was just like
6'4". You got to have shooters in the corners probably, yeah. Though, huh?
Yeah, so like the kid over there in the left corner just graduated. He was a sophomore in this. I mean, he's making anything you leave him on. And we try to put – the kids fight over who gets to stand at the free throw line in this play. But then we'll even throw – I've got a couple different versions of it too that let me see here. I've got so much stuff in here.
You've been cleaning house. I haven't cleaned my huddle up at all recently.
Well, they tried making me delete a bunch of stuff.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. All of a sudden it was randomly saying that I had to delete, but then it got rid of it. So here we took the same play because we were playing a team we were way better than, but they scout the hell out of us. So we took it and just moved to the side, and they had no idea what to do. So we just ran it over on the side.
I love the spacing alone of the guys in the kills people. Too.
I mean, this was our offense.
How do people stop you on that?
So what people have done is they'll – let's see, this might be a good one. So they'll put, like, the point guard's defender, like, at the free throw line a lot of times, or they'll run somebody at him.
Okay.
Or not, let's see, they'll switch it. They'll really try to attack us right at the free throw line and not leave in the corners and do that.
So they'll stay out on the corners.
And that's when this year we didn't have anybody that could throw the lob to my big kid, because as a junior he had like 50-something lob dunks, and this year he had 2.
Right.
We didn't have anybody that could throw it, but we would get that. Some teams kind of figured out that we couldn't throw it. Like, we wouldn't give him the ball there quite as much.
They deny that, but they push him. I'm just trying to think, if you run that, how do you stop it?
That's the thing that we've been pretty good about. It just really takes – and we'll run a ton of simple stuff. Like, here, just middle ball screen. It's the hardest thing in basketball to defend. 2 shooters in the corner, just really trying to do simple stuff.
Yeah, you got to have the 2 shooters. That's what I
– Yeah. But, I mean, I like doing stuff that nobody else does.
Yeah, I do too.
We've ran this UConn handoff play for years where we just come right off that guy. We're just running right off of a handoff at the top of the key. We'll even switch sides. They don't necessarily know what to do on that.
So I think you got to get space for your girls to be able to attack like that.
Corey. Like, somebody was showing the inbounds play earlier. We literally ran this for 90% of our inbounds plays this year. I think it's an NBA play. We call it NBA.
We get zoned so much though.
3 guys across the baseline, and it's supposed to be a double screen, but we just read off of it quite a bit. Like, if he's getting overplayed.
I like 3 guys at the – I like 3 guys at the elbow at the free throw line. We run a lot of – we run sets out of that because it leaves space.
I mean, this is – like, we won't necessarily always get a shot, but it immediately gets the defense moving. Like, this is our first round regional game. These guys – weren't that great, but like, we're immediately moving the basketball, and it helps when you have guys that can do that.
I really love your variation with the handoff and the fake handoff.
I like that too.
It'll make them – they can't commit, because I think especially in high school, kids, like, they get photographic memories where they're like, oh, I saw
right, coach spent the week working on the handoff. It's like, well, he didn't do the handoff, he faked it. Yeah, he took it himself. I know.
Guys that can drive down the rain and that helps too.
Here's another one. This is one that a coach was like, I hate you for running this play. We had 5 guards, and 2 of them could not do anything but shoot. Like one of them literally looked like Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. People would always be singing, like saying that to him, but he could just nail corner three.
Coach, you got to write a book, man. You missed it, Steve. He was talking about how dumb his post player was for about 5 minutes.
He barely qualified to Vincennes Junior College.
Well, that was the nice way you put it, but you could put a rant before that.
So we would put, I'm talking like volleyball line high right here. And we would just weave these three guys. And, like, I had quick – like, my old school was, like, 80% Hispanic.
Right.
And we would get these tiny little guards that were just quick as snot that could not, like, pivot at all. So we started doing a ton of dribble drive. And they're just weaving whatever until it breaks. And they're trying to get right in here. And basically, if you have two shooters, they have no idea what to do on those two spots, because they eventually, if they leave, just kick it out. We had one kid that plays for the Denver Broncos now. He wasn't a great basketball player, but he could dunk the hell out of the ball, and we would put him in that low post spot.
Corey, with your girls, if you get a lead, could you pull teams out?
Yeah, so we against that team that I was just talking about, we took like a 18-point lead, and they were in a 2-3 zone, and we run a play called X, which we run it against man or zone. Basically, you have girls in each corner, and then you have a girl at like in between the free throw line and the 3-point line. Basically, it's as spaced out as we can get in the half court. And most people would be like, oh, never put a girl with the ball in the corner. But we just space it out as far as we can. And the coach started yelling, like, he started yelling at me. He's like, let's play basketball. I'm like, well, you're the one playing zone.
Did he come out of it?
Yeah, he had to come out of it. And then that's the thing is, like, we just set – that person in the middle just sets a high ball screen, and then we just attack downhill and kick out to our shooters. But, like I said, if people played man, then we could do that. But no one plays man against us.
There's your no-shot clock reason right there. There's your no-shot clock reason right there, yeah.
Right. Well, we have – we pretty much have five athletic girls that can dribble and attack. And so – everybody looks at us and they're like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and play zone. So.
Do you have a lot of girls that can dribble a basketball?
Out of the five that we play for the most part, I would say three of them can dribble pretty well.
Like, have you ever, like, continuity ball screen, man versus zone, like something that just, like, your kids don't even care if they're in man or zone? Like, there's some really simple ones out there that are like, even like three out, I have a three out, two in continuity ball screen that's designed for like kids that can't run anything. That
no, but I mean, I think the key, Corey, is you want to run it against man or zone. Like, this is just what we're going to run. Like, you know, because otherwise they're probably getting stagnant. They're probably standing. They're probably not doing anything.
Yeah. I mean, from being from in the Midwest, especially, I want to be like a program guy and a guy that has all these sets. But with the kids that we have this year, it's like, we just have to wait, you know, we have to wait till we get, you know, a little more.
Right. You got to put where your feet, first of all, it's similar to what I was saying. This year is a different year. Like, this doesn't count. Like, half of us aren't even playing. Like,
yeah.
This year is so like, I'm putting it over there on the like shelf. It doesn't like, don't think you got to get some wind. I mean,
we used to run, and this is another one I loved. We would throw the ball here, and it might not even be a screen if it's zone. And he would come in here, and the point guard just cuts to the block, come off the ball screen, roll, point guard comes right back up. Whatever post is opposite comes right back out, ball screens. Whoever threw that pass over here cuts to the block, and it's just constantly new screener and a shooter coming right up behind the screen.
And think about that against a 2-3. That would work perfect against a 2-3, except they'd be setting the screen on that top elbow guy.
And it's three guards, two posts, and they only have to know two jobs, which is what I found to be really simple. Hey, you're either screening or you are doing this simple action, which is if you threw the ball to the wing.
Okay, you're going to – Corey's trying to write this down, so you're going to have to either send it to him or –
I just wanted to know what the so after the point guard passes the wing, he cuts down to the ball side block.
Yeah, I can share it on Fast Draw here. Just don't make fun of me for all the fast draw stuff that I have. Let's see.
I'll harass him to send me a PDF too, so we can put in the file thing.
And I love calling things by names that people like. I call this Kansas. So as soon as we call it out, everybody would yell high low.
Right.
And not high low at all. So here's basically, I think you guys can see that.
Yeah.
So point guard throws it to the wing, and he's getting, and I have this, I don't know why I have him going to the corner, because he does not go to the corner. Okay, here's a better one. Point guard throws it to the wing, and he's just going to cut to the ball side block. Opposite post screen comes screaming out for a ball screen. The shooter, he's going to roll after the screen, and the shooter comes right back up to the top. And we get that action a lot, throwing it back to one for a three. If the ball goes to the other side, same action. Opposite side post comes screaming out for a ball screen. Passer goes to the block. We just keep
hey, go back down to that one. So if you look at that, it's working perfect. He's just going to – that five is just going to set – if it's a 2-3, it's just going to set that screen on that top person. That four is going – all the spots are perfect for a 2-3, which is probably what you're seeing.
Frame, that second frame, can you go up one more?
Yeah.
Looking okay, so the four sets the ball screen across for the five who comes up and sets a ball screen. I got you. Perfect.
I might even have this – yep, I even made it out of like four high – tend to have I used to not have a life at all.
That was PK. I refer to that as PK, pre-kids.
Yeah. I waited until I was 37 to get married, so I can put this in right now.
Yeah, you may be able to put it in the chat. If not, I'm gonna post this on our private Facebook group so people that want to watch this can. So
next time we all meet, I'm hoping to show you guys some video of us running this play. Get a shout out to Coach Moore.
It's
I hope we meet before the middle of January or February or whatever.
Next year, I'm hoping to play next year in Chicago.
I'm as about as optimistic as for you to play as me. I don't think you're gonna play.
Our state has already said that some places might play. Our conference has said that it's if the health department says. The health department won't say absolutely yes, we're not playing.
We're not playing. Yeah, that's the way it is with us. Probably 80% of our state's playing and we're not. Milwaukee, if it's a big city in Wisconsin, we're not playing. Milwaukee, Madison, Kenosha.
If anybody wants to see any of this stuff, you can reach out to me and I'll share. I have literally nothing to do over Christmas break other than other than be with my kids. And my wife had to go back to work yesterday.
Oh gosh.
And I thought I was gonna die being at home with two kids by myself.
Well, let's plan on next Tuesday and let's come up with some ideas. Like, what do we want to talk about?
The theme, I guess, is what.
Let's come up with a theme for next Tuesday. I'm up for anything, and then we can all come with something to share.
That should work.
Okay.
Let's put it in the chat.
There it goes. Did everybody get that? Let's see. It's over there. He put it in this Google Drive. Look at that.
Whenever, like, my assistant coach took over for me at my old school, and when we're both really struggling, like, one of us all of a sudden will run that play and be like, God damn it, it still works. Like,
So can you put your plays in? You put Kansas in. Can you put that – what was that high – that – what'd you call that one? The one with the two guys high.
Oh, Celtics.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Put it as tandem on Facebook, but I've.
You put it on
I
tandem.
I saw that on Facebook. I saw that you posted that.
And cool. We have
gotta call it Kansas, right? He's got to call it Kansas, or he runs it.
Well, you can call it whatever you want.
I'm calling it more.
Yeah, more.
Steve was talking about naming plays. I learned the wrong way to not let your kids name plays because they would just try to name it stuff that I would never want to call out.
It's more I got to remember it, because as I get older, I forget it. It's like, I'll call it high low. I don't care.
I had one of my eighth grade girls who plays varsity trying to name our plays Chicken Nugget. Like,
what are you talking about?
It's just crazy stuff like that, Steve. I got to deal with the immaturity, you know?
Well, trust me, I get it. Listen, I'm in my house with a 16-year-old girl. I get it.
I'm like, hey, listen, we're not going to call it Chicken Nugget, but thanks.
Chicken Nugget.
She wants us to create a play that's called Chicken Nugget.
I would tell them, design it. Let's see. Let me see what it looks like. Let me see what a Chicken Nugget looks like for a play.
No, it's every play that I've ever put in. They're like, can we call that one Chicken Nugget? I'm like, no.
No. has to be a reason behind it.
Yeah, we called our 1-3-1 press pizza because it, you know, it makes like the triangle when you make the trap.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Yeah. I would remember that.
That was a, yeah. So I'd yell pizza, pizza, pizza. and then like the team would stop my foot. Pizza.
All right, I'll put this. So I am gonna go eat. I haven't actually eaten dinner. So hey everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like it. Go over and check out our other podcasts, High School Hoops, Teacher Side Gig, and then go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.